Thank you, Reggie and Mayu. That was beautiful. I think that most of you are familiar with the Divine Science course of study that is taught here in this church. We begin with the basic principle of Divine Science class, which is also known as fundamentals. Now, if we want to learn about something, actually about anything, if we want to take it on in our understanding, we must first discover its foundation, its principle. What is it all about? Only then can we decide if we want to pursue the course of study that is necessary to develop understanding. Why does someone wish to learn about a spiritual way of life? Why would anybody want to do this? Well, the first lesson in the basic principle of Divine Science class is entitled, Our Search for Identity. I think that is the answer. No matter what people call us as our name, no matter what others have to say about us, regardless of what it is that we might think about ourselves, we want to know who we truly are. We know what we do for an occupation. We are also aware of our talents, of our likes, and of our dislikes. We have certain thoughts, ideas, concepts, and opinions about us and about life. But these things merely speak about us. They don't really tell us who we are. The sense of identification that we are searching for takes us beyond the genes and the DNA of the physical form. It takes us beyond our occupations and all of those many hats that we wear during our time of daily living. Intuitively, we feel there's more to us than those fleeting ideas revealed by humanhood. The one who is interested in discovering the eternal self, that is the one who is interested in a spiritual way of life. Now, actually, our questions concerning us, those ones concerning our identity, they also apply to all of our questions we have about life. Basically, the unenlightened individual concerns himself with his wants and needs only. His view of life revolves around what he thinks is best for him in a personal way. He remembers all of his experiences, and he tries to recreate those that have brought him pleasure and avoid those that he feels somehow brought pain and suffering. I really think we have all done this at some time or other in our lives. We name things in a particular way. Now, these labels are given to events or activities outside us. But what we don't realize at first is that things appear to us as either good or bad, not because of what they are, but because that is simply the label we have given them. We label things in consciousness. Life simply is, and it expresses as something. Life expresses what is. The grass, it simply is. The sky, it simply is. Mankind, all of us, simply is. Now, when we find us facing one of these things, we go into our head and we call it something. Humanhood names things. And then they appear that way to us because we have accepted them in that way. To ponder our questions about life, we must consider that part of the answer lies in how it is that we view life. To answer our questions concerning our identity, we must consider that part of that answer lies in whom it is we think we are. Do we know us simply as that given name of Mary or John? Do we accept us according to what the world might call us or how it knows us? Or do we know us as that eternal self that simply expresses as us? I personally think that it is important in how it is we know ourselves. If I believe that my life experience is really a result of how it is that I view life, then I certainly need to be mindful of how it is that I view life. If life simply expresses as something, and it is my label that names it, then my study should also include watching my thoughts, my actions, my words, and my reactions. The basic principle class of divine science reminds us that we are responsible for what it is that we claim for ourselves. Life appears to consciousness according to its ability to receive it. Now, we have been told that all work gets done in consciousness, and I know that every one of you have heard this many, many times. The lessons presented in the Divine Science course of study speak of consciousness as that place where we live, move, and have our being. It is there that we become aware. It is there that we consider and decide. Do we reject or do we accept? It really is in consciousness that we determine who we are. It is this personal sense of identification that determines our view of life. And remember, our view of life determines our experience. Can you now see that we definitely have a role to play in answering our own questions about us and about life? God is life. Life that expresses what is. Let us consider the statement that God is life expressing itself. If my personal sense of identification is that one of spiritual being, then I am that life that God expresses as. My view of me now changes from that unenlightened individual, that one whose breath is in his nostrils, to accept the identity of the eternal self that has its being in Christ. The challenge for me is to discover how to live in that state of awareness that knows me as God's expression. To truly know and accept that I am eternal self. How do I get to that place that I can look at what life expresses and not name it or not call it something? How does one make the adjustment necessary to take on this particular understanding? Well, life does it for us. Life presents its lessons, and we learn according to our ability to receive. When we listen to what the world has to offer, we receive instruction from the five senses, from personal experience, and from what others have had to say. And if we happen to be in that frame of mind, we eagerly and readily accept it. When life brings us information that there might be something more to us than appears to be, we receive instruction of a spiritual nature. Now, how do we do this? Our ability to receive spiritual knowledge is really not determined how clever we are or how smart others think we are. It doesn't even rely on our degree or level of education. Our ability to receive spiritual knowledge is determined by our desire to receive it. Spiritual knowledge does not come to a consciousness that is not ready or willing to accept it. And let's face it, there are a lot of individuals who are not inclined to pursue a study of spiritual things. Many individuals are perfectly satisfied with knowing themselves by that name that people call them, and how it is that the world knows them. They really see no need to search for identity. They already know who they are. They are that child born into that particular family. That individual that's known as son or daughter, mother or father, or even your employer or employee. That is their personal sense of identification, and they express all of the attributes that go with it. And they are happy with where they are. You will not find this individual sitting in the basic class in the divine science course of study. Life's lessons bring us what is, and we determine what it is we will do with it. Now, earlier I said that many of us are drawn to a spiritual teaching as a result of our search for identity. But I have also noticed that many people find their way to this church because of a problem they would like to have solved. Now, it doesn't matter what the problem is. It might be one of health or wealth or maybe relationships. Maybe just a dissatisfaction with life. They have been told that this church has a teaching that looks at life differently. Perhaps it can help them get rid of what bothers or annoys them. Maybe in time, all of it just goes away. Well, we do have a teaching that addresses what bothers or troubles us. And the way we seem to make it go away is to understand the nothingness of it. We cannot know the nothingness of something while we are still considering it, looking at it, naming it, giving it value and importance. We don't work with the problem in order to find the answer. When we find us in the process of solving a problem of mathematics, we don't really work at the level of the numbers, but from the basis of the principle that supports the numbers. When we work from principle, the answer, it will be correct. So you see, it really isn't a matter of making something go away. Turning to the underlying principle of life allows anything that is contrary to that principle to melt away, all without us really having to do anything. The answer to life's lessons lies not in the lesson, but in the underlying principle that supports us. God expresses as you and as me. The Creator can only express itself. Understand that as long as we have existence in this earth plane, we will be tempted by the appearance. And yes, there will be those times when we act like that unenlightened individual from the awareness of man whose breath is in his nostrils. But there will always be a new horizon, something to be attained or achieved. Because you see, life expresses itself in a variety of ways, moving forward and onward into new and challenging areas of experience. But you see, that is the joy of life. We should not fear what life brings. When we understand that God is the only creator, we also know that he supports what he has expressed or sent forth. If what we are looking at is an invention of the human thought, it is not of God, and it will have nothing to sustain it beyond its 15 minutes of existence. Now, sometimes these things last a wee bit longer than their allotted 15 minutes, and we find us growing weary with the experience of their existence. Stay firm in your conviction that really has nothing to do with you. I must step back and understand that life brings me what is, and it has no power except what was given from on high. Does God's activity support it? Did it come from God? We are told that in the beginning God created, and what he created he called good and very good. This is our standard for viewing life. What I am viewing, what are its qualities? Does it have origin in a human thought? Is it really the result of man's reactions to one another? What I am looking at, where did it come from? Did it come from carnal mind? Is it merely belief? Does it have value or meaning in some way? This is how I apply my standard for viewing life. Is what I am looking at supported by the divine idea? If it is not, it is not of God, and I may let it go. Now also understand that some of what we look at comes to us in a very subtle way. It appears one way, but in our thinking, we find us doing something else with it. Some other idea enters in, and it gets our attention. For instance, let's talk about something out here. Let's say it is time to celebrate another birthday. What fun! What can you possibly do with a birthday but gather together with family and friends to celebrate it and enjoy it? But after we have experienced or celebrated a few birthdays, we may find us coming under the human belief that life is getting short. We may not have too much time left on this earth plane. Now, it is true for all of us at some point. We may not have too much time left on this earth plane. But that interesting fact has nothing to do with not having life. We can never not have life. Life continues to express what is, whether in this world or in the next. The idea of life is short did not come from God. We can let it go. God knows us as eternal self, that one with no beginning and no end. A consciousness ready and willing to accept the divine idea as the only idea no longer busies itself with naming things or giving power where none exist. understand that life expresses as, then we realize it just is. We can't realize what is by looking at the past. Nor can we find is in that time called the future. The act of viewing life as an experience of what simply is done right here, right now. There is no past or present or future tense. There's only where you are right now. Life does not express itself as yesterday. Life does not express itself as tomorrow. Expression is an activity of now, this present time. Life expresses what is, and it is now that we receive it. When we talk about our lessons in a human way, we consider the teacher to be experience, what it is we've read in books, or perhaps what someone else has had to say. In considering life's lessons from a spiritual standpoint, please be assured that there is also a teacher to assist and to guide. But this teacher is not another individual, not even one who is versed in spiritual reality. The true master teacher is Christ, the principle that expresses as us. If we know that we are of God, that we are of God's expression, we are placed in a different realm of understanding. And you know, we really are not the same. We have been told to attain the mind that was in Christ Jesus. The more that we live from our divine nature, the closer we are to that mind that was in Christ Jesus. We die daily to some human concept we used to entertain about us. We let go of some preconceived idea that we held about life. And yes, we really are in a new state of consciousness. There are times when those students in the Divine Science Principle of Divine Science class look back at themselves and they say, I am no longer that person. I am not who I thought I was. Joel Goldsmith points out that we have both a birthday and a death day. Now, some may consider these days to refer only to the physical body, to that time spent on this earth plane, and yes, they do. But I think they also apply to us, as we unfold in understanding of spiritual reality. Our birthday occurs each time we awaken to a new idea of us. Our death day occurs each time we drop or release some misunderstanding we held about life. These special days occur many times as we view life from the understanding that life expresses what is, and we are that expression. We began today's lesson with the discussion of our search for identity, and in time we discover it to be our divine nature. We are that life that expresses as every good thing. Life continues to express, and we should not ever fear its expression. Remember, when faced with uncertainty, apply your standard of viewing life. Is it of God? If not, let it go. If it is of God, the master within will know exactly what to do. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and give recognition to Christ, the master and teacher of us all. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In our time of stillness, we pause and listen to the inner voice. There are no thoughts. There are no concerns. There is no fear. In the presence of God, there is none else. We find us in a state of peace, receptive to direction and the guidance from on high. We speak of truth, and in this moment we know the truth of us. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways is the direction given to the receptive heart. It is the receptive heart that says, "Thank you, Father, for having heard me." This act of gratitude receives the blessings that flow from the infinite storehouse, going before us, making every crooked place straight. Let us choose this day to dwell in His house, to abide in the awareness that I am the child of God. This is my identity. I am eternal self in this world and in the next. And so it is. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge Him so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen. Please stand.